Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see each one of you this morning as we head into this wonderful week. Some of us get some extra time off. Some of us get to eat more than we probably should. That was a joke. Anyway, But most importantly, we go into a week where we're reminded of the blessings that God has for us. And we are thankful people. So I invite you this morning to stand up and let's sing about the great things that our God has done.
Above all things. your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, oh God. True are your promises. True are your promises. You never change. You never fail, oh God.
Yours.
good. Stand here in the quiet before your throne of grace. We are grateful people. You have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. May we never lose a heart of gratitude. May we learn how to quickly say thank you. Mm-hmm. And may we never ever forget most important thing of what you did for us. Mm-hmm. And the reason we can even be standing here this morning. Thank you. You may be seated. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Isn't God good? Even when we're not, right? Because you're not. And I'm not. Yeah, amen. I'm excited. I'm excited for a couple different things. Number one, we get to open God's Word together, which is able to transform our lives, right? You believe that? I hope so. You're here in church and watching Facebook. You didn't think you were going to be changed this morning, but I'm pretty sure you are going to be changed this morning, or I hope so. If you're not, then you might as well leave now, because God wants to do that work, and he's going to convict you about some things, just like he's convicted me and continues to convict me. Number one being, I don't deserve to be here, number one. Let's just get that off the table. You guys have known me for like 2 years now. You know that there is no good reason why God would choose a welder like me to be up here, other than the fact that his grace and his mercy is complete. His grace and his amazing work in our lives can transform us into people that we would never be if it wasn't for him. And this morning I hope and I pray that that transformation that you know happened to a lot of you, and I know happened to me, can cause us to well up inside into this amount of gratitude that we've never experienced before in our lives. And I'll tell you why. Because we're very ungrateful people. If there's one thing that I was really struggling with in thinking about this message this morning, it was the fact that that we're ungrateful, that I'm ungrateful, that how many times do I complain versus show gratitude towards the blessings that are all around me? How many times do I have every ounce of every day to give back in gratitude to Jesus, and yet I complain? Probably more than I'm grateful. So if that didn't, you know, annoy you and convict you already, then I don't know what will. Why don't you guys stand? We're going to read God's Word. Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 is where we're going to be this morning, and so we're going to read it. And I encourage you guys to follow along. I'm going to read it, and then we stand. A lot of people say it's tradition at WCF. I like what Pastor Carey says. We stand to show respect and honor for God's word in our lives, and I think it's a good thing to do. So thank you for standing with us. But let's read it. Verse 11, while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance to meet him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Lord, we more than anything want to know the message that you have for us this morning through this passage. Lord, we know, and I just want to confess, Lord, and I know that we are not a grateful people at times, but we want to be because we've known your love. And I want to pray for anybody in here who hasn't experienced the love of God in a real and tangible way, that maybe they don't know you as Lord and Savior. You'd open their hearts, God, that you would just speak to them this morning. So we're grateful to be here this morning and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I was kind of going through this thing, you know, when Pastor Carey asked me to preach, I get kind of excited. I've told you guys that before, and then we have the daunting task of figuring out, do I want to like pick up where he left off, which is like then I can just really mess up his whole series, you know, or do I just pick like a one-off and do something that, you know, that maybe God's been putting on my heart or whatever. And because it's the beginning of Thanksgiving week, I figured it's perfect timing. Let's do a message on thankfulness, on gratitude. Because it's one that I think it's something that we all need to hear. And I, as I was praying through what to share and what to bring, this passage came to mind because I think it really does a really good job of describing what gratitude is, but also describing the condition of the world forevermore. Because it's been, over 2,000 years since this happened, and Luke wrote it down, and yet people are still in the same boat. There's still 10 that walked away or 10 that got healed and one that returned. So my encouragement to you this morning, and if you get anything out of the rest of the message, you know, in about 5 minutes, some of you guys will be sleeping, and I'm okay with that, by the way. Carrie's not. He'll, like, zap you or whatever, but I'm okay with it. No, I'm just kidding. If you get anything here this morning, I hope that it's that you and I can be the grateful one, that we are called by God to be grateful, and if anything, it's especially when we're born again in Christ, it's something that we're supposed to do. It's something that God knows is a part of our wellness. It's something that God has actually supernaturally, in my opinion, fashioned in us for your benefit and for His. And we'll get into that. So, let's get into our text. First of all, let me show you this picture. It very aptly describes, I think, our condition, right, in the world today. Although I have one objection, and that's that the person probably wouldn't be reading a book. They'd be on their phone or on their computer playing solitaire, right? So in Luke's gospel is an amazing gospel because in Luke's gospel, he gives us detail. Luke, as we know traditionally, was a physician. And so physicians are notorious for having horrible handwriting but being very detailed, right? So I haven't looked at the actual manuscript of Greek to see if Luke had horrible handwriting, but I do know that the gospel that we have is very detailed. In fact, he said, it seemed fitting for me, and this is in the beginning of Luke, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning to write it out to you, for you, in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. And so as we get into Luke, anytime you study Luke, understand that Luke's goal or his message or his purpose in mind is to give you some part of a story that's the exact truth, that's detailed, that's as detailed as he could remember it or piece together with the other believers. And he did that so that we would understand the truth. And I love that because, Matthew's gospel is a gospel written specifically, like it's very Jewish in nature. It's written specifically for Jews. That doesn't mean we can't glean off it. It just means that it's very Jewish in nature in terms of its tradition and stuff. Mark was kind of like the OCD guy. He liked the highlights, you know. So Mark's like the OCD gospel. That's what I call it, sorry. Speaks to me well. Mark's one of my favorites. And then Luke is the detailed gospel, and John is the love gospel. I mean, John is like, he had this tight relationship with Jesus, and so the love of God is all throughout John, and John really wanted you to believe in Jesus. Luke is in it for the exact truth, which is a very interesting thing because in this passage, I feel like there's some details that in a sense could be missing, but they're really not because I don't know about you, but I'm always a believer that when the Bible doesn't speak on something, we shouldn't either. And so like maybe it's not in there for a reason. And that's what we're going to see with a couple of these things that are here. So, and by the way, I just want you to know, you can go to the next slide. It's grateful, not grateful, okay? Just kidding, sorry. That one's just for fun. It's grateful. Like potato, not potato. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. The first point I want to bring out to you is in verse 11. It says, "And while he was on his way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village." It's not where, but it's who and what. The detail here that Luke is giving us is it's a village. He's not telling us exactly where. And you know what? There's a reason for that. He's not telling us exactly where because I don't know about you. I know a lot of you maybe in this room haven't had the privilege. I had the privilege last year at this time, actually real close to this time. We were back by now, but at this time, I was in Israel, and lifetime trip. I couldn't miss it for the world. Super blessed by this church to bring me along, allow me to lead worship in the Holy Land, and it was amazing. And so, but there's one thing I learned in Israel that a lot of people don't realize unless you've been there, but it's very near and dear to our American culture, and that's capitalism. Okay, it's all over Israel. Okay, and especially with the holy sites, it's almost like you know where holy sites are because if there's a church, there's a holy site. Because, like, essentially what happened was a lot of the in the Byzantine area or, like, era and all those other different times, they would, like, try to decide where a holy site was, and then they build a church on it, right? And so I have some pictures from my trip. These are pictures that I took with my camera. And so the first one is actually, you see that? The first one is actually at the Mount of Beatitudes, okay? Now, there is no 100% historical accuracy or archaeological accuracy that can say that that particular spot right where the church is exactly where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. But it's in that area, okay? And the one thing I can tell you is I was struck at each one. I put three spots in here, but I was struck with three different things each time we visited one of these sites. Number one, there's a lot of hubbub about these sites. But it was Jesus that mattered. This is at in the Garden of Gethsemane, or actually near the Garden of Gethsemane in that area. This is the Church of the, you guys would know. The what? Yeah, Holy Sepulchre, thanks. Church of the Holy Sepulchre, if you ask me, I don't know what that means. But I can tell you this, it's crazy beautiful, but that place was about Jesus' agony, which was beautiful, granted, but it was still about the agony. The next one is actually believed to be where Jesus was buried. Yeah, that tomb right there is where they rolled the rock away, right? No, but these are hundreds of people standing around waiting in line to go in to see where Jesus was buried. I don't care where he's buried. To be honest with you, I was taking pictures of the architecture. I'm like, man, this is great. This is amazing stuff. If I build a house one day, maybe I'll put it like this because it'll last for 1,000 years, right? Maybe not with that detail because that's expensive. But nevertheless, like, when I look at these things, I think it's not about the place. I was struck with the awe of looking at different ideas of the tomb, not because of the tomb itself, but because it's empty, because Jesus isn't there. I don't want to worship at this site. It's not where, it's who and what. And I honestly believe that if Luke had told us where this happened, where this miracle happened, there would be a church there today, and they would be selling leprous garments for 1999, and coins that it had one of those machines that you crush a penny and it would say, you know. He entered a village, and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance to meet him. Now, leprosy, a lot of you guys know leprosy is a pretty bad thing, right? Here's the point. If it's not where, it's who and it's what. Isn't it so easy for us to forget about the right details in life? To forget about, I mean, I'm notorious for this, right? The car breaks down even this morning. You know, I couldn't get the slides to work exactly the way I want to. Woe is me, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen? You know, I can't control it. Isn't that the point? I can't control it. God can. And God's in control. It's not where, it's the who and what. It's the important details that we miss sight of. And with gratitude, to be honestly, that's what happens to us. We miss out on being grateful because we're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on the place. We're focused on the detail in our life that's causing us to have maybe some pain, to have some frustration, to have some hatred, it's pushing back against all of those things because God wants us to be grateful in the midst of all those things. You know, it's funny because as Christians, a lot of times we read in the stories and we read stories like Job and all the different things the disciples went through, and we're so grateful that they were these heroes of faith, which they weren't. They were kind of like, excuse the term, but they were kind of like boneheads like us, right? They didn't get it a lot of times. They were sinners, and they were saved by the grace of God, and they got to walk with Jesus, and they still walked away. They still did all these things that didn't glorify God, right? But the detail that is there is that they had these moments of truth, these moments where God was showing them why to be grateful. unfortunately, like sometimes we're like, I wrote this up. Somebody once said this: I'd like to thank my legs for supporting me, my arms for always being by my side, and my fingers, I can always count on them. That's our like our attitude of gratefulness, right? That's how we're grateful for all the things that we have in our lives, right? For it's like this gratitude of selfishness. That's not what it's about. The Bible says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalm 104. Bless his name. Give thanks to him. There is an object for our gratitude, and that's Jesus. There is an object for our thanks, and that's God. And if it's placed in any other place, it's not thankfulness. It's not real gratitude. It's selfishness. Now, I understand, like, people say, well, you know, we need to be grateful for what God's given us. Yeah, again, but the object of that gratefulness is not the thing. It's not the place. It's God. So please, I beg you, be the one who's grateful, not for the thing, but for Jesus. Jesus is here. Be grateful about him. The second thing that we see in here, these leprous men who stood at a distance to meet him, they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, I have a couple questions that go with this, and that is that we find that Jesus had kind of a reputation at this point, right? There were crowds following him. There were different things. If you didn't know that, that's okay. There were crowds following him, and he had actually healed a leper in a different story. And so these 10 lepers that come are kind of, I would consider them kind of be like a multiplication, if you will, of like the lepers started hearing that Jesus and different people started hearing that Jesus was doing healing. And so they started trying to find out where he was going to be, and they would go find that spot, and then they would call out to him. Interestingly enough, leprosy, if you don't know, is like this really bad disease where like it's kind of like a bacteria, I think, that basically it destroys you. It eats your flesh. And so your fingers start falling off. All these different crazy things happen. It's a pretty bad disease, but it's very contagious in the sense that people, like lepers, can hang out together, but they can't hang out with people that aren't lepers because it potentially could spread the disease. So the interesting thing about that is that in the law it was written that they had to stay away from the group. So that's why it says right here, they were away. They stood at a distance and met him. They raised their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. It's interesting to me because lepers, again, they would have known and heard this. And can you imagine having an incurable disease that's destroying you from the inside out, literally? And it's destroying you slowly, and then you hear that there's somebody out there that can heal you. I mean, you'd probably want to head towards that direction, right? So here they are, these 10 guys, and they have this desire to meet Jesus. We know that. This wasn't like a coincidence. They actually sought him out. They were going to meet him. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance to meet him, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And I found this meme just because it's funny. I don't know. Like I said, I like memes. Lepers, I heal lepers. You know you're all thinking it. What does he mean, lepers? I don't get it. So questions. Has God ever healed anyone? Had Jesus healed anyone up to this point? I just said it. Can God heal anyone? Why aren't you or I asking for God's healing? I know some of you are. I know that. But for those that maybe this is the first time you never thought about it. If you're a skeptic like me, it's because you're like, oh, well, God used to do things like that. The Bible was amazing, you know. It was like the time when they had special effects before they actually had special effects, right? But reality is God does heal constantly. He doesn't always heal. He didn't come as baby Jesus and then, you know, all of a sudden he floats up in the air and goes, you know, and like the whole, all of Israel was healed of their infirmities. It didn't work like that. But what did happen is that God healed these 10 guys. So can God heal? Yes. So our second point is he can, so ask. There's nothing wrong with asking God to heal you. Did you know that? But be grateful while you wait. Be grateful while you wait for God's healing. And again, this is another point here is the miracles of Jesus. I don't know how well this is going to show, but this is the miracles of Jesus. There's a ton of them. Did Jesus heal when he was here on this earth? Yes, it's very well documented in the Gospels. These are just the Gospels. This isn't counting maybe stuff that we don't even know about because of all the different interactions Jesus would have had with different people. This is the stuff that was written down for us in the Gospels. That's a lot of healing. That's a lot of healing. So when I think about that, I think, okay, how many of you guys, let's just do this for a show of hands. How many of you guys would say that God healed me in this room? Raise your hand. Praise God. I can tell you one thing. If you're a believer in Christ today, you should be raising your hand. Because God did heal you from your sin-sick, leprous state of damnation, is the best way to put it. God healed you. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, yeah, maybe you haven't had cancer and then had it miraculously go away. I had one of my mom's friends. I won't mention her name just because I don't want to embarrass her. But one of my mom's friends, like, we kept getting, she kept getting cancer over and over again. And then she'd call us and be like, guess what? God healed me. And then she'd, like, 2 years would go by, and then she'd get cancer. Guess what? God healed me. 2 years would go by. Guess what? God healed me. We're like, this is like ping pong healing, you know? Ding, 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 you know? But you know what? Every single time, not only was she was grateful in the middle of it. It's always like she was expecting a healing. Right when she found out she got cancer, she's like, oh God, here we go again, you know? And that's not to say that ultimately cancer won't take her life. It just means that that was the experience she had that she was going through. But you know what the lesson that she learned that I love to hear from her every single time I got a chance to talk to her was, praise the Lord, I don't even care anymore. If it takes me and it takes me to heaven, then I'm healed permanently, you know? And that was her perspective. Can God heal? He does. So here's the deal. With these guys, they believed that God could heal them. That's why they were there. That's why they came. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come. They had belief already just showing up. Psalm 107:1 says this, so give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he's good and that his loving kindness is everlasting? Then it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't. It's the flesh. I don't like preaching this message because I don't like my flesh either. Trust me, I tried to get on a skateboard the other day and practically killed myself, you know? And I was like, where did I go? I used to be able to do that trick. Now it just hurts. Jesus heals. Be grateful about it. You can be. Even in the midst of like a health issue or loss or depression, be grateful. Jesus heals. Be grateful. Does it mean that he heals all the time? No. Actually, in Scripture, well, I mean, ultimately, like we said, ultimately, yes, because of sin, because the ultimate healing that any of us can receive is salvation, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? So ultimately, all of us are healed. But does it mean that he heals all of our infirmities here in the now, in this time-space continuum? No. And we know why. Because sometimes God is taking you through something to train your gratefulness. Sometimes God's taking me through something just so that I can look outside of my own self. It's hard in the middle of that, right, to like get this whole thought of like that, well, maybe there's something other than what I'm going through that's making me so selfish. Maybe God has a bigger purpose than this. That's a harder like concept, if you will, to grasp. But the reality is that Jesus can heal. So be grateful and ask for it. There's nothing wrong with asking for. In fact, I remember when my mom was in the hospital, a lot of you guys know what my mom went through before we moved up here. It's actually part of my story of being here, right? My mom had an aneurysm. I watched her go from basically, you know, being fun and happy and us praying during our, like, family devotion. We call it demotion time just because we do. It's fun. So during our family devotion time, we were having this moment, and we were praying for each other. And the next thing I know, my mom goes to bed, and then she comes out, what, like 30 minutes later, and she's looking at me with this grim reaper look, and she's completely white, and she's holding her head and said, my head hurts really bad. I think you need to call 911. And so, of course, instantly the EMT and me, like, you know, went to the, okay, well, are you okay? You know, and I'm like, down the line, right, all the different things you ask him, trying to calm her down, all this kind of stuff, and then I could really see my mom was serious. And so we called 911, and I watched her in the matter of the next 2 hours go from being happy and joyful to being on her, basically on the brink of death in that short of a time frame. And then to watch God take that time frame and then put basically 6 months of her recovering, 6 months of us going to the hospital visiting her, 6 months of sleepless nights, 6 months of because she had a brain injury, me walking into the room and her not knowing who, like wondering if she knew who I was at that moment. A couple times she thought I was my dad, you know. And then 6 months of watching her come back to that realization, 6 months, for a couple months in there, we had the times where we'd go to the hospital and she was weeping because she's like, it's been so long since I've seen you. And I'm like, Mom, we were just here yesterday. Because she couldn't remember because of her brain injury. But you know what? You know what God challenged me when I was in that hospital moment, that crazy moment? Ask for healing. Ask for complete healing. And we did. And today, she's back to her Taco Tuesday with her friends. You know? She's not driving, and she's not happy about it. But she's hanging out, still praising Jesus. And is back in her right mind, and I praise God for that. I'm super grateful. The third thing we see is the master, not the method. Check this out. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. You know, Jesus healed a lot of different ways, which is kind of interesting because, like, we have a tendency, I think because of capitalism, we have a tendency to like want to package something into this one little thing, right? Okay, well, if we just do this, if we just eat all organics, then we will live forever, right? No, doesn't work that way, even though they taste better, all right? But nevertheless, like, sorry to pick on organics. I know a lot of you guys love them. But the point being is that it's the master, not the method. Jesus healed in a bunch of different ways. You know why? Because he didn't want you to worship the method or somehow think that there was this, like, magical process, right? When we have healing, this is what we think of, right? We think of this mystical, magical thing that God somehow, wham, you know what I mean? That there's some kind of words to say that lead up to, well, you didn't say Jesus' name, amen, he's not going to get healed, you know what I mean? Or you didn't use the right kind of, like, olive oil, you know what I mean? We have all these things, and I'm like, what is going on here? Because biblically speaking, look what Jesus does. He doesn't even touch them. I mean, they were lepers, so maybe he was like, oh, lepers, go away. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Jesus didn't do that. That's me. Okay. When he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So what we see in this miracle, right, is that he doesn't, like the guy who was blind, right, you know, and he spits in the mud and makes mud and like rubs it in his eyes. That's just weird, okay? But, and then like, you know, then the other different ways, there's all kinds of weird ways that Jesus healed. In this case, he didn't even do anything other than say it to them, okay, hey guys, go show yourselves to the priest. It doesn't even say that he says to them, okay, this is what you're going to do. First of all, you got to obey. This is my 3-point sermon. You got to obey. Secondly, you got to get to a good Bible-believing church. Thirdly, you got to like go show yourselves to the priest, right? He doesn't say that. He just says, go show yourselves to the priest. And so they're like, well, what do we have to lose, you know? We're already lepers. So they like head to the priest. And on their way, what happens? They're healed. They obeyed God, and guess what happened? Healing came. Now, I'm not saying that's an overall principle, but obedience to God is an overall principle, isn't it? Something that God asks us to do all the time, even when we don't like to or want to, right? It's not a magical process, but it is something that is truth, that Jesus didn't want us to worship the process or gimmick the process. He wanted us to worship and to understand where the power from healing is coming from, which is God, right? And the obedience to God, the obedience into what Jesus and God is asking you to do is what really matters. That's the part that God wants us to understand, is that it's not about this magical process. It's about what God is doing in your life. And guess what? It's going to be unique for each and every one of you. You know why? Because God knows you well enough to know. Some of you would be, if you were the 10 leper, you'd be sitting here, well, he didn't tell me to do anything. And you'd still be standing there with leprosy. Well, that's not, why didn't he do it like he did the other guy? That's how we are with Christianity, right? How come we don't do it like the other church? How come we don't do it like this and that? It's about Jesus. What he tells you to do, do it. The master, not the method. I like this next one. There are people that would love to have your bad days. Stay grateful. Jesus probably did say this through the psalmist. Let me thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to the children of man. Jesus heals, and he did it in a unique way. But again, it's not about how he did it. It's about the fact that they obeyed him. They sought out the Lord. And they were healed. Jesus is Lord. Be grateful about it. Amen. Fourthly, this is the money verse in this whole thing. Verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he'd been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Did you know that word glorifying right there actually means grateful? It's gratefulness. He thanked him. Glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. Again, gratefulness. And he was a Samaritan. I found this meme. I thought it was pretty funny just because, you know, it's funny. The true identity of the 10th leper. Thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry. This is how the Bible, being random is how the Bible makes sense to me. I apologize. The Greek word for gratefulness is eucharistos. Yeah, yo. Eucharisteo, to be grateful, to express gratitude. And when I was studying through this, it's this wellspring, if you will, that comes up from inside of you. That's actually an expression, and it's to God. The world kind of gets gratefulness, I think, wrong, because the world says that it's just about being happy or just about being grateful, like being grateful for my house, being grateful for my this. But again, that brings it to possessions, right? But gratefulness is a well that comes up with inside of you that doesn't have anything to do with you, that you're in awe and overwhelmed by the fact that none of this should happen but for the grace of God. None of this should happen but for the goodness of God. None of this should happen but for the pure, simple fact that Jesus loves you. You don't deserve it. Neither do I. Especially I don't. Gratefulness. Giving thanks. Check this out, though. This guy turns around. Okay, how many lepers got healed in the story? 10. And how many lepers realized what was happening? 1. What does that tell us about society? Yeah, I want to be that one, too, for sure. And I have been that one at times in my life. I want to be that one more often. More often recognizing the things that God is doing in my life. More often the one who is having that experience of understanding the greatness of God and being grateful for him in the midst of whatever's going on. Psalm 118:28 says this, you are my God and I give thanks to you. You are my God and I extol you. And I found this meme of Winnie the Pooh. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. That's so true. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. This guy, interestingly enough, is the only one out of the 10 that got it. The only one that recognized the healing and went, "What? I'm healed," and turned around. Now, there's some things that we don't really recognize sometimes in this passage because, first of all, again, he was a leper, right? At one point he was a leper. He gets healed and he turns around and he comes back. Guess what happens? Notice what happens. Okay? He fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. Okay, at one point he was a leper. He couldn't go anywhere near Jesus. And now he recognizes his healing. And he's so overwhelmed by the goodness and the grace of God that he runs back to the feet of Jesus. And you can imagine, I mean, he's still got his leper clothes on, right? And who knows, maybe they don't even know that he's healed, the rest of the crowd, so they're probably like moving out of the way, right? And here he lays down at the feet of Jesus, crying out and thanking God and worship. It's a great picture of worship. And isn't that what God does when he changes a heart? Isn't that what God does when the gospel actually comes in and shows you that even though you were miserable in your state of sin, that you couldn't do anything? And then God reaches out with his love and his forgiveness, not because you deserved it, but because he loves you. And he changes that hard heart. He melts it. And he puts in a new one. And all of a sudden, there's this expression that all of a sudden you're saying, "Praise God," and you don't even know why. I remember that was one of the first things that like I started doing after I like committed my life to the Lord was instead of the F word, it was thank you, you know, praise God. You know, it was like traded the F word for the P word. You know what I mean? And it was interesting because it was like, "Praise God, praise God." And all of a sudden I could say, "Praise God." You know, I just got rear-ended. "Praise God," you know. Who does that? Only weirdos like us, right? Right? You had this horrible thing happen. "Praise God, God's good." You know, that's why the world thinks we're crazy. Did you know that? The world thinks you're crazy because you believe that God loves you. Period. That's why they're going to call you a lunatic. In fact, they're going to even legislate eventually, probably, I hope I'm not being prophetic, but I bet you they're going to legislate the fact that we're crazy because we believe in the mercy and in the goodness of God, that he's good to us and that can change our lives, that it doesn't matter the circumstances around us, it doesn't matter what's going on, we can still praise God because he's good. We can be grateful. We can be grateful. You can be grateful. Be grateful about it. The last thing I want to talk about really quickly is, did you know that gratitude is a key to wellness? And I know that sounds like a very like psychosomatic, you know, almost like a health thing, like where I'm going to give you a health seminar and then I'm going to pitch you a product, right? No, that's not going to happen, all right? Because we're okay on donations so far. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Again, it's really important that the Samaritan was the only one to come back because Luke is actually giving this. This is a kind of a side note thing, but actually it's a pretty important note. Luke was giving this side note to tell you this. This wasn't a Jew. There was probably Jews among those 10 lepers who should have known that Jesus was the Messiah. And if anything, were the ones that should be returning. But the foreigner, the Samaritan, the Gentile, who didn't know the laws of God, who didn't understand this whole concept of what to do in thankfulness, he was the only one to turn around and come back. I think that's a huge point. And it's a point of, again, the grace of God that Jesus brings up, the text brings up, Luke brings up, that I think is just amazing. But interesting, look what Jesus says too. Was not one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Which, by the way, that verse is a landmine if you didn't know it. Okay? And Pastor Carrie and I were talking about this. This verse is a landmine because it has a tendency for us in Western culture to think that it's our faith. It's your faith that's made you well. And that I could preach here that if you just, you know, have enough faith that you'll be healed from everything. And that's not the truth. That's not actually what this verse is saying. In reality, what this is saying is that the faith that God put in you that changed your life is the key to your wellness. Meaning he responded with obedience, he responded with worship, he responded with all those things, and guess what? It is well. It is well with my soul. I love that hymn, right? I don't know about you, but I do know about me. When I am right with God, it's well. When I'm obeying God, it's well. My body or my physical body might not be well, but I can guarantee you my mind is well. And interestingly enough, science has told us many times, if you could go skip the one slide if you would. There's top find that these are two things that I saw, that these are on secular psychology websites. Did you know that? The benefits of gratitude in terms of well-being. Science knows that gratitude is a big deal. They package it in their own way for sure, but you and I as believers, if we read our Bibles and believe our Bibles, have known this for a long time. That when we get completely consumed by ourselves and forget about the grace and the love of God, guess what? We become selfish, we become bitter, we become like hateful. But when we focus our minds and when we focus our lives on the love and the grace and the mercy of God and are thankful and grateful for that mercy, guess what happens? All of a sudden, we start feeling well again. All of a sudden, the centering of our life happens. And it's on Jesus, not us. All of a sudden, the wellness that we so dearly want, it happens. You know, it's interesting, doing some counseling in different ways that I've done over my life, one of the things that's very common is if you, and this is something, again, that's kind of proven in science, is that if you get somebody focused off of their problems and into even serving others, amazing things happens, right? Yeah. And it's the same for us. Yes, you're falling apart. I am too. Praise God. Let's love Jesus and be grateful for it. Let's love Jesus and be grateful for the fact that I still have a breath, that I can serve my Lord and Savior for another day. Let's be grateful for it. I know. I don't understand all that you guys are going through. I don't. And I pray for a lot of you, if not all of you. Like all the time. But one thing I do know, and that's if that we would learn the lesson that Jesus is trying to give us and that this guy got in his own personal life, if we would be the grateful one, that things would change in our lives. 1 Thessalonians, this is how we'll close. Whoops. 1 Thessalonians says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why would he say that if it wasn't important? You know, some of us are looking for God's will like we think we're supposed to be a doctor, a lawyer, a candlestick maker, whatever. You guys don't even know what that is anymore, right? Right? But like we're looking for that thing, right? That's just out there. Stop looking for that thing. That thing is Jesus. Start focusing on the grace and the mercy of God. And guess what? He'll guide your life. That's what the Bible says. Start looking towards the one so that you can be the grateful one. So that you can get outside of yourself and into the love and the mercy and the grace of God and be headed exactly where God wants you to, because that's all that matters anyways. We're so focused sometimes on like our this or our that or how this is going to work or how that's going to work. I don't know. You don't either. Stop worrying about it and start being grateful. The Bible says that God will direct our steps. The Bible says it's God's will that we give thanks in all circumstances, in all things. What does all mean? All. That means in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through, in the middle of the worst disease that you could ever imagine that would come upon you, you can give thanks to God and be grateful. That means that even in the most happiest times of your life, when it's real easy to be grateful, you can be grateful to the God who gave you that amazing gift. Because we know the Bible also says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father in heaven. So my encouragement to you again this morning is to be the grateful one. You were born again for it. If you're a believer here this morning, you were born for it. You were born to be grateful. All of you were. And if you're not a believer here this morning, I would hope, and I hope that maybe today you could meet my Savior. Because he's amazing. He's the reason why I'm grateful. Because he saved this miserable wretch, this guy who couldn't tie his own shoes if he really tried spiritually. He saved me, and he wants to save you too. So I want to encourage you guys, reach out to Jesus. If you're a believer here again, be the one who's grateful this Thanksgiving holiday. And not just this Thanksgiving, all the time. Be grateful. Turn that bitterness into betterness through gratefulness. I know that sounds like a tagline. Sorry, you can quote me on it later, right? Turn your life to Jesus in gratitude. He wants to do that work in and through you. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you give us stories like these to remind us that we are so much like the nine sometimes. We're so much like the nine where we walk away thankful, maybe in our own selfishness for the healing, that we did the right thing here or there, but never turning to say thank you, never turning to just run to your feet, because we know that without you, we would not be healed. We would not be saved. So I pray in all of our hearts this morning and this week that you would just give us, have it to be something that just springs out of us, Lord. That we'd even now and even this today just continue to be reminded of the things and the reasons why we can be grateful. So we give you this morning and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and give thanks this morning. This is the day that you have made. Whatever comes, I won't complain. For all my hope is in your name. And now your joy awaits my praise. I give thanks. Set my feet on higher ground. So here I stand. You are my God. Your faithfulness, my solid rock. I give thanks. I give thanks for all you have done. And I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing. Lord, I am grateful. I give thanks for all you have done. I won't forget all the battles you have won. Your love is unfailing. I am grateful.
Is it on now? It is on? You hear me? Okay. I just can't hear me. So we have a lot to be thankful for and grateful for. One of the things we are going to be thankful and grateful for and going to pray for this morning is our shoeboxes. Okay. Operation Christmas Child has been doing this for a long time, and you guys have been doing this for a while now. And look at that mountain. Isn't that amazing? I mean, praise God for your guys' generosity. And again, one of the things I loved is the fact that, like, and I'm going to give props to Jason, wherever he is, Johnson. When he was praying this morning, I loved one of the things that he said when we're praying with the elders back there. And that was just that these aren't just boxes that would bless the kids, like, in a way that would just kind of be like, ooh, cool, a toy. But that this is the gospel in, like, in a form, if you will, of a G.I. Joe. You know what I mean? That the gospel would go forth, and that it would be that anybody who's receiving these boxes would feel the love of God through them, through this blessing. And so that's what we want to pray for, is that people's lives would be changed because of the generosity and because of Operation Christmas Child and the things that God wants to do through these. So let's pray for them right now. Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for these boxes. We thank you for, Lord, all the people that are representative. And that's not just our church, Lord. There's other churches represented in this mix, and I praise you for that. I praise you that we're able to give back. I praise you that we're able to pray over these boxes. And we just want to pray that these boxes would be used for your glory, that the gospel would reach to each and every heart of the children that receive these, Lord, of the teenagers that receive these, Lord, of any of the kids that receive these and the families that receive these, that this gift of mercy or this gift of grace, if you will, of these little things, Lord, that may seem insignificant would seem so significant to the people that receive them, that they would understand that this is a token of love from you, Jesus, and that they would respond to your love and be thankful. Thank you so much again for us being able to participate in this, and we pray, God, that you would, again, bless these boxes as they go out next week and as they travel around the world for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I want to mention, too, is that you can still, he already mentioned it, but don't forget, you can still, up until 3 p.m. today, you can still bring your boxes. I'll also mention that tomorrow, 1:30? Oh, until noon. Oh, I thought it was till 3. Oh, till noon tomorrow.
Right.
Till noon tomorrow, sorry. Bring them till noon tomorrow. See, we just gave you more time. Now you have no excuse, all right? So, till noon tomorrow, and then at 1:30 tomorrow, we're getting together to take those big boxes and put them on the trailer. If anybody wants to come and help out, feel free to come and help. 1:30 tomorrow here, okay? God bless you guys. Have a great morning.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.